Well, again, Merry Christmas, and we've got kind of a compressed season because of the lateness of Thanksgiving, so and maybe you're thankful for online shopping, and but, you know, go local, too, and I'm not up here doing a sales pitch or anything, but I'm thinking about what I still need to get done, and then Alicia and I as parents and grandparents and connected to a lot of people. We've got some stuff to get done yet. But thinking about gifts and so forth, you probably have done this before where you've gotten a gift or maybe even given a gift before that's really only enjoyed or used at Christmas, and you got it at Christmas. You know, like maybe Christmas morning you woke up and somebody gave you Christmas pajamas. It's like, I can't wait to wear them tonight and next year. Or they give you a Christmas ornament and you go, well, let's hurry and put it on the tree before we take it down, you know, kind of thing. And I know, you know, your meaning and purpose is probably greater than my takeaway on that. But sometimes we give things like that. But I want to talk to you today about peace on earth, which is a phrase that's most closely associated with Christmas. But I want to say this right at the start, peace on earth is not just for Christmas. So just like there may be a gift, well, that'd be really nice for Christmas, but doesn't have much use after that. And we've gotten so acquainted with peace on earth, not just because of Scripture, but because of another thing. Maybe you'll remember this, Christmas cards. Do y'all remember those? And that phrase out of Luke chapter 2, and we'll read that, and I want to delve into that a little bit today regarding peace on earth. But I want us, and let me just talk about the danger of Christmas for a moment. And it's also the danger of anything that you do over and over, and that is that it starts to lose its meaning, starts to lose its punch after a while. And God help us that we don't do that. Especially at Christmas, how many times can you hear a song? You know, and you hear it year after year, and we're on this quest somehow to recapture some feeling or something with Christmas. Oh, I felt it. Did you feel it? I felt a little Christmassy, you know, and there's nothing wrong with pursuing that. But let's make sure that we're really pursuing, you know, really the right thing. And one of the ways to do that is capture what is meaningful and make sure that your heart is in it. And let me tell you this, your heart cannot be in what your mind is not on. There, I got it right. Your heart cannot be in what your mind is not on. And if we're not careful, we get so used to some things, we're doing it, but our heart's not in it. You know why your heart's not in it? Because your mind's not on it. And your mind's not on it because you got so used to it, it's just kind of memorized. And this is a danger for long-term Christianity as well. That we can, are y'all with me today? That we hear things and we know things and we've been exposed to those kind of things. And shame on us for ever treating anything holy lightly again. May we see it. May we feel it. I was praying with the worship team and tech team before service and just asking the Lord to make it vivid in us again. Make everything just full color, full focus for us again. Not just for the Christmas season, but for all of our lives. So I want to do something, and this is something, if you've been around Meadowbrook for a while, you know this by memory probably. I'm going to put it on the screens for you. But could we just slow down? Could we just slow down and try to put our mind on what this really is so we can put our heart really into this and not miss the depth and the riches and the meaning and the power of something? Amen? Amen. Well, that was a really weak Christmas amen, so... No, it's too late. So here we go. Ready? Christmas is the celebration of the entrance of our Savior into the world. Now, a lot of you probably even have that memorized, but come on, let's get our mind on it. Let's get our heart in it. Let's slow down just a tick here. Christmas is the celebration of the entrance of our Savior into the world. The second part is very important here. Christmas makes no sense without Easter. And so people are celebrating, and I'm all for the celebration. But if we don't know the second part, there's no real meaning to this. And so it's reindeers and gumdrops, and we kind of can miss it all. Are y'all with me today? And so the celebration, if we don't know what the celebration is about, and that's why I say Christmas makes no sense without Easter. That's why we keep adding a whole lot of silly things, you know, to what Christmas is. And I'm all for the celebration. Let's light up the lights. Let's eat a lot of food. Let's give gifts. Let's be kind. Let's sing songs. Let's be merry. Let's spread cheer. Let's do those things. Let's don't just do them out of, well, you're supposed to do them during the season. Let it be a genuine celebration. And we've got to know, well, what on earth are we celebrating for? We're not just walking up on a mob somewhere and they're clapping about us. What are we clapping about, you know? And we joined in with that. You know, let's make sure that we have that personal celebration as well. So one more time, if we could. Christmas is the celebration of the entrance of our Savior into the world. And Christmas makes no sense without Easter. That's one of the reasons we intentionally, our team, decorated in this way, that you've got his entrance and you've got why he came and what he accomplished for us. Amen? Amen. Now let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 18 through 14. And you know this, and you've heard this as far as back as a Charlie Brown Christmas. But let's make sure, could we try maybe to hear it for a first time again here? Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. Has that ever happened to you at work? And the glory of the Lord shone around them. This is energy and light and presence. And they were greatly afraid. You would be too. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." It's going to be available to everybody. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David," come on, "a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And there's the full meaning right there. "And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." And on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now we take that whole passage there. There's a whole lot going on there. Y'all hear? There's a whole lot going on there. What a cast. What a crew. What special effects. What a whole lot is being said. A whole lot is being done here. But I want us to focus on one item. I want us to focus on one phrase. And in the New King James here, it reads, "And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." And so this is where we pick up this phrase, peace on earth. Come on, everybody say it with me. Peace on earth. How many of you would like peace on earth? Okay, it's most of you. Peace on earth. Yet as we look around us, is there peace on earth? Where can we find this peace on earth? Have we ever had this peace on earth? What is this peace on earth? Will we ever have this peace on earth? And then I just made a partial list here. Broken lives, broken families, pressure, war, division, upheaval, disasters, crime, terror, political division, corruption, violence, tragedy, grief, go on and on. So peace on earth. Were the angels wrong about this? Could that be it? Or have we maybe misunderstood something? And so I want to try to help us today to maybe see something, that this is something that truly Jesus brought for us, and it is something we can have. But this peace on earth is not just that all is quiet and calm. This peace on earth is not that there will be no problems, no conflicts, no stress. This peace on earth is not world peace. This is not some equilibrium between nations and peace between nations. It's not an end to hostility. It's not the end of injustice. It's not the end of suffering. There will be that kind of peace on earth one day. And that peace on earth will be a new heaven and a new earth. So even prophesied here by the angel is, yes, that day when he makes all things new. But he came into the world where we are, living where we are at, and he is saying that there will be, at the coming of Jesus, there will be peace on earth. Well, we all want that peace on earth. We all need that peace on earth. And if it's not world peace, and if not that everything is going just right kind of peace, then what is this? And so instead of that kind of peace, this is actually a rather miraculous vertical peace that Jesus came and brought this peace to us. I hope you're with me today. Jesus came and brought this peace to us. Colossians 1:20 says that he, Jesus, made peace for us through the blood of his cross. Did you hear that? Jesus made peace for us through the blood of his cross. So it was announced at his coming, in his birth announcement, unto you is born this day, not just a baby, unto you born this day is a Savior. And what he's going to bring ultimately is peace on earth. Yes, the ultimate peace on earth, but a whole lot of peace on earth is needed in between time. And so he came and he made peace. Listen, you and I, we made a mess. He came and he made peace. And he brings that peace to us. Now, in other words, Jesus was born to die. Jesus was born to die, and by his death on the cross, he removed the distance that was between us and God. God loved us so much that he wanted us. God loved so much. You ready for this? God loved so much that he hated. God loved us so much that he hated the distance between us. And our sin and our failure, our shortcomings separated us from a holy God. And God loved us so much that he said, I don't want to take that anymore. And so he sent Jesus into that brokenness. Jesus bridged that brokenness and he came and he made peace and he brought peace for us, taking our sin, taking our brokenness out of the way, making that peace for us so that we could have peace with God. Come on, say that with me. Peace with God. And Jesus came making that peace, bringing that peace so that you and I could have that peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have, come on, we have peace with God. Come on. You read it for yourself. Because since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God. Look at me. Because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. We have peace. This is the peace. This is the peace that he came to bring. Now there's a lot that flows from this peace. This peace has everything to do with relationship. It has everything to do with relationship. God's peace is only given through relationship. Come on, everybody say relationship with me. Now, I want to show you something on the screen here. It's old as the hills. It could be corny and cheesy for you, but it is so meaningful if you'll take the time here. You ready? No God, no peace. No God, no peace. Does that make sense to you? Come on, one more time, everybody. I need y'all to rev it up a little bit for me. I don't know if y'all are cold or bored or whatever, but we're working, y'all. Y'all hear me? All right, ready? No God, no peace. No God, no peace. I hope you'll remember that. Some of you need to get a Christmas tattoo of that. All right. God's peace only comes through relationship. John chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right, the Amplified Bible says, the power and the privilege to become the what? The children of God. It's relationship. Folks, this is why Jesus came. And to as many as receive him, that word is very rich in the Greek, is to accept, is to behold, is to take in, is to receive, is to acknowledge. If you'll receive, if you'll believe, if you'll accept who he is, why he came, what he did, if you'll do that by faith, then you receive him into your life, you now get the privilege, the power, the right to become the children of God, which makes God your Father. This is why Jesus came. God so loved you that he hated the distance, that he had this plan before the foundations of the world, that my son will put on flesh and come and dwell among you. He'll come. He'll live this perfect life in front of you. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I want them to see me through you. And he came and he paid the ultimate price. And when we accept, when we believe, when we acknowledge what Jesus has done, we're made right with God. We're made the children of God. We enter into relationship with God. And the peace with God only comes from relationship. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, and that relationship is the most precious, the most prized, the most powerful possession that you or I could ever have. And out of that relationship, one of the prizes, if you will, is peace. Peace. What is this peace? Now, this is benefit of a lot of study and a lot of word study and depth in this. This peace, when you believe and when you receive, then your soul is assured. You're at peace. Your soul is assured of salvation. You no longer fear anything from God, and you're content in whatever your situation is. That's peace on earth. When you believe and your soul is assured, you're at peace. Alicia and I took a trip of a lifetime this summer, celebrating our 40th anniversary and my birthday and just enjoying ourselves. And I showed y'all pictures and all that, but let me recap just for a moment. And I've got about 60 pictures, if you don't mind. No, I'm teasing. But we went on an Alaskan cruise. And so she made all the arrangements. She put it together. And so we got to leave the house at this time. We got to drive to the airport. We got to fly here. Once we get to Seattle, then we got to have an airport. And then we got to get a ride from the airport to the hotel. And then we got to get a ride from there to where the ships are. We got to get on the ship. We got to do and all that, and then coming back. So we had all of that, and we had confirmation numbers for everything. So it's like our trip is together, and we paid for our trip, and we're all good, and we're ready to go. We got our trip, and we go on our trip, and it was wonderful. And then we're leaving the hotel because we booked a day or two in Seattle on the other side of the cruise just to look around a little bit, and then we're leaving to go to the airport. We leave our hotel, walk out at about 7:15 in the morning. I'm about to, on my phone, get a Lyft or an Uber to come pick us up. And as I pull out my phone to do that, I have a notice from the airline that our flight has been delayed. But hold on. I have a confirmation number. Your flight has been delayed. We have checked out of the hotel. We're all packed up. We've got our stuff, and they can't even tell me when we're going to get a flight. Do you know what I lost? Peace on earth. There's nothing, y'all. There's nothing that has that assurance here on this earth. I don't care. It's paid for, confirmation number, upgrade, this, that. Something can go sideways. And apparently something was wrong with our plane. So they said, well, we got another plane way up in Alaska and we'll send that one down. I think they had to thaw it first because it was late in the day, finally. Finally, when we got that, what did we lose? We lost peace. But let me tell you something. In the relationship with God, you've got to know it is so solid. It is so solid. Forget a confirmation number. There's an assurance that comes into your soul. There's a peace that comes on the inside that this will never go away. This will never go away. This will never be altered. This will never be reduced. This will never be changed. This will never be cheapened. There's no budget cutback. There's nothing that can break down. This is just settled. Your salvation in God, your relationship with God is settled. And because it's settled, get this. This is what peace is. I'm good with God. I've got peace with God. And because of that, then I fear nothing from God. And in every circumstance of life, I can be content. Fearing nothing from God, what does that mean? It means this, that I now understand that God's got me, not God's gonna get me. See, when I was a little kid, I think my mom and my teachers decided, you need to tell them, God's gonna get you for this. And religion around me seemed to say the same thing. God's going to get you. God's going to get you. And you don't have peace when that's what's in your heart and your mind. But when you come to the realization of a relationship with God, it's not about God's going to get you. It's about God's got you. He's got you. John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He's not trying to get you, he's got you. He came to seek and save that which is lost. He didn't come to seek and browbeat and lecture that which was lost. He came to seek and to save. And let me tell you something about God. Whatever you give to him, he wants to do something redemptive, not something destructive. He wants to redeem something. It's that kind of God that gives you peace on earth. The other part of this is this. And fearing nothing from God and content with whatever the situation may be. It's a peace, it's an assurance that you know that all, just like he wrote, just like he said, all things work together for good. That there's nothing impossible for God. That he'll never leave me, that he'll never forsake me. So this is not everything's calm and quiet and everything's going my way and everybody's getting along. It's just this, that I'm assured, I'm settled in my relationship with my Father. I fear nothing from God, and he's with me to help me in whatever situation I have in life. That is peace on earth. Amen. Now, it's probably the greatest theological truth and takeaway that once you accept Jesus, you are saved. You receive salvation, justification, relationship with God. You're a child of God. God's your heavenly Father. You have peace with God. And you ready? And now you can have peace from God. So this peace on earth, could I rephrase it a little bit? It's not just peace on earth. It's peace anywhere. It's peace at your address. It's peace in your heart and your mind. Pastor, does that mean that everything's perfect then at my address or my heart? No. It's what we've talked about. It's the peace with God that results in a peace from God. All peace flows from peace with God. So peace with God, which is relationship, makes way for peace from God, which is His presence. Peace for your life. Peace for your situations. Has anybody here ever had a situation? Come get down here where I can kind of see if you raise your hand at all. A few of you. Come on, how many of you have had a situation? How many of you are in one right now, all right? Any problems, any challenges, any things you're just stumped? I don't know what to do with this. I want you to know something. It's that kind of peace. Not just the relationship, but out of that relationship with God, He's going to help you with whatever the situation, the problem, your life, your challenges may be. And peace is always available. Peace can always be found. Peace actually is yours for the receiving. It's yours for the asking. Look with me in Philippians chapter 4. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Now, I'm hoping some of y'all get some new glasses, some new readers for Christmas, because I think some of y'all have been misreading that. You've been reading it as worry about everything. Don't pray about anything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Amen. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now here's what we're doing. If you have a relationship, how many of you have worried since you've been a Christian? You better not lie to me. We are. You're probably worrying right now even, okay? Cut it out. Jesus paid such a dear price so that we could have some peace that literally mounts garrison, stands guard over your heart and your mind. And that's where you're feeling it and struggling with all of that. And He said, I paid a dear price so that you could have some peace. The chastisement needful to obtain our peace was upon Him on the cross. But we get our plumbing wrong. We're hooking our hose up to some dirty water. We're worrying about stuff instead of hooking it up right and saying, God, I don't know what to do with this, but I'm going to come to You and I'm going to pray. And some of you discount it right away. Well, I don't know how to pray. Give me a break, you do too. And it just told you, talk to God about it. That's what prayer is. And make sure to acknowledge Him. Thank Him for what He has done. Acknowledge Him and just tell Him. And it said, when you do that, then, everybody say then. Yeah. Then you're going to experience God's peace. It's the whole plan of God. Listen, it's the whole plan of God to get that to you. The whole plan of God is not just to get you to heaven. The whole plan of God includes getting some heaven into you here on your way to heaven. Amen. That's why Jesus came and disrupted the mess and the brokenness and the darkness, because He wanted to get that peace to us. And we got to cut it out with the worry and with the fretting and stewing about this. And I'm not letting that go and just over-focused. And we take worry, which is some of the most energetic focus you can have. And instead, it should be prayer. And instead, it should be thinking on the things of God and keeping your mind on the right things. Unhook that hose from the dirty water and let's get it focused back where the peace on earth can come and flood our hearts and our minds. Amen. Talk to God. Ask Him for that peace. Receive that peace. It's simple. It truly is. We make it so hard. This peace on earth is not just a Christmas thing. This peace on earth is not, well, everything's going my way. This peace on earth is not everybody's getting along and all nations are at balance and everybody's taken care of. That will be one day. And that will happen. But we're here and we're now. And he didn't toy with us to give us some kind of idea that's so far off that it can only be poetic for us. This is reality, that he wants you to have peace. Peace on earth. Peace right where you are. The Bible begins and ends with peace. It's called the gospel of peace. God is the God of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We live in the kingdom of God, which is a kingdom of righteousness and peace. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. He is the Lord of peace. And we can have peace with God through relationship. And out of that relationship, we can have peace from God, which is His presence. I'll close with this, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now may the Lord, here's a Christmas verse for you. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all. That's peace on earth. That's peace on earth. Amen. Y'all get anything at all out of this? I pray so.